Right? Say, I want Christ involved all the time. Okay, now, on Wednesday, I'm just going to briefly recap the fact that I talked about, and I'm praying that you agreed with me, but Christianity is not a concept, it's a relationship. Okay? Oftentimes, people look at Christianity, what should a Christian be, and it's a concept. They have a concept of it. Okay? But a relationship is born out of experience. And when Paul said, I want you to experience, in Ephesians chapter 3, he said, may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully, then you'll be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Relationship comes out of an experience, and the experience which creates the relationship results in actions that come from the relationship. A concept enables people to act. But you can only act so long. People wear out acting. You hear it all the time. If you're in Christian circles, you know, I just can't do it anymore. It's because they're acting. Not intentionally, not maliciously, but they're still looking at it as a concept. They're trying to find out, okay, if I do this and I do this and I do this. But it's not out of a relationship, birthed out of an experience, but it's, okay, they're trying to act. The religious leaders, they were acting on their man-made understanding, and they crucified Christ because of it. Because they saw it as a concept. They couldn't accept what he said when he said who he was. They couldn't accept that he was who they'd been looking for because they wouldn't experience him. Even though he would say, if you won't believe me because of what I say, at least believe me because of what you've seen. Experience it. You won't experience the fulfillment of the prayer that Bernie led us in today unless you accept it as what it is, truth from the mouth of God. That it was written to them, it was put on Bernie's heart to bring it to you, to bring it to you so that you could benefit from it. Jesus sent them out into the deep, and that, boy, that's good. I liked that. I never thought about that before, that they didn't probably normally fish in the deep. They didn't have their depth finder, didn't have anything like that. Jesus just said, go out in the deep. And it was apparently amazing enough, supernatural enough, that Peter said, whoa, I am a sinful man. Why was he sinful? Was he thinking different thoughts on his way out to the deep? Was he mumbling and grumbling as he went? May we all be delivered, especially me, from mumbling and grumbling. From having our first thought be doubt and questioning. Rather than, could work. Could be. Huh? So, it's not a concept. It's an experience. Experience results in a relationship. A relationship produces action. A concept is a thought that might turn to act, but an act is just an act. No Christian should be satisfied to act. We should be, as Scripture says, as Paul said, I'm compelled. I'm compelled to declare the good news. This is good news. You know, we say, yeah, amen, it's good news. If it's good news, it should just be what's coming out of us. And I'm not talking about, you know, the four spiritual laws. I'm just talking about, man, God is good. I just got to take a minute to talk to God. I had a guy come to my house the other day selling stuff. And it's funny because Vicki had just gotten a warning on email. There's guys in town selling cleaning products. And anyway, but I hadn't heard that from her yet. I had stepped out. I heard the doorbell. And I come to the door and I see this guy standing. I was like, he's singing to himself. He's pumping himself up for the sale, I guess. I don't know, you know. But I mean, he was primed. I liked him.
He was a little black guy about this tall, and he was just talking to me. Brother Larry, when we were worshiping, I loved it. I thought I was the Platters. You were up here grooving in the side. You don't know who the Platters is. They were a quartet that sang, "Do to thy will, it's time to go. Do, 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 do." And here was Larry. He was jiving in the music. So I was just praising the Lord. I'm saying, that man, that's good. He's experiencing the presence of God. You know, just letting it happen. You know. Anyway, he comes to my door and he's talking. He says, "What you've got here is green mold. It leads to black mold. But I've got this." And he took his little brush and he's scrubbing the sidewalk. And his stuff clears up the sidewalk. Then he's scrubbing the wood. "Look at this. Look at, man, how old is this wood?" I said, "How long's it been here?" I said, "Forever. It's just an old box." "Oh, well, then I've made it look new, haven't I?" I said, "Well, it looks pretty good, yeah." And then he's scrubbing the metal with it. It'll scrub anything. And he's telling me about the little microbes and stuff. And he's, "Do you have a car?" He said, "Actually, I saw your car. Can I go? I want to scrub something for you, you know." So he comes back and he's going to scrub the car and he's telling me about it. And then pretty soon he's going, "But I'm away from my family. I'm sorry. You're the first person I cried for today, you know." And I'm going, I'm not sure that he's honest, but he's good, you know. You know. But he's telling me stuff, and I said, "Man, I just need to pray for you." And he's receiving the prayer. He isn't standing there going, "I hope he gets done, man." He's just, man, he is into being prayed for. And he, you know, did I buy any? Absolutely, I did. And when I think about it, I should have bought a case. Because if I'd have bought a case, I'd have got a free case. But with the way that I could make that stuff and dilute that stuff, well, I should have done that. Because I could have given you all some. And you would have had some of the miracle elixir. But let me tell you, that I took my little spray bottle and I made a stain in our carpet disappear that hadn't disappeared before, and it will be completely gone when I get more time to work on it. But I mean, we've done everything to it and it's still been there. Just been ugly. And I said, "We're going to test this stuff because I'm no fool." You know? And I was right. He was right. It was good. It was great. It was grand. It was wonderful. So I'm going to get you all his number. No, I'm just kidding. But he was convinced because he needed to sell them. He needed to sell them. He's from Maryland. And he's out here, these herds of guys, they look like a group of Jehovah's Witnesses jumping out of the vehicle. Only they're selling their stuff, you know. I'm sure I got the best one because God only sends me the best. You know, honestly, he didn't know that I was the pastor of the church next door. So I'm going to believe that he got something that he didn't come to sell. He got it for free. And I'm going to keep everything clean. If you need anything, just let me know. I'll come to your house with my... No, do not do that. I would, but I don't want to do that all day, every day. I might go to the neighbors, though, and say, "I got this stuff from my little buddy." Okay, what's that got to do with anything? It has to do with it becoming from a relationship, committed to something. Paul said, I pray that you'll experience the love of Christ, which is too amazing. We'll never get it all, but if we just have a hunger for it to get as much of it as we can, we'll keep after it. It's when we realize the need for it. As I shared about Mom's roof and the drips in her house and her saying that she had caught a drip or two, and I never really saw how bad it was dripping. I just knew that, yeah, there was a bucket there and there was water in it. But one day I saw a whole bunch of buckets lined up and I said, "Ooh, I better check this out." And when I checked it out, when I realized just how serious it was time to do something quickly. And so far it's working, even though it isn't as complete as it should be done, but it's as complete as I could get it done at the time. But the recognizing it produced the action to fix the problem. A lot of people have not experienced the love of Christ. And so they're still caught up in
the idea of it and asking themselves things like, why do I go to church? And then telling themselves, well, I go to church because, well, it makes me better than the person who doesn't go to church. I'm not going to, you know, I mean, having enough understanding to think that, well, you're not going to get anything from God if you don't at least put in a little effort, and going to church is a little effort. If you go the extra mile and think about God a little bit while you're there, you know, you got a better shot at it. And if you jump clear into receiving something and acting on it, wow, you're on a roll. But if you don't have the relationship, you'll only go out and act. And when the act doesn't produce results, what are you going to do? How many people have said, I tried that? It didn't work. Well, you don't try God. You do God. And you do God when you have a relationship. And if you're willing to believe that there's more than you know now and go for it, you'll get something. And you'll go do things that you're not sure what it's all about and come up with a great catch. If we do it out of that relationship. So, then, and only then. When I think of all this, Ephesians 3:14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and earth. And I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources. Okay? Do you believe that God has glorious, unlimited resources? Not as a concept, but as an absolute, more than the next breath you take, you know He does. It's one thing to say I know, it's another thing to know. Oh yeah, I know. Oh man, if I had 50 cents for every time somebody said to me, oh yeah, I know. Phew. But to know. His unlimited resource, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. We need to believe that it only comes through His Spirit, not from some concept we can come up with, not from some religion that somebody else can come up with, but just through His Spirit. The revelation of God to your spirit. So many people are touched by the Spirit of God and drawn into the kingdom of God, but then stop with the Spirit and now they've got a concept. Yep, I've done that. Some people's concept stops at, well, I've been to church, and that's what it takes, and they said that being a part of this church saved me, and it ends there. Other people go the next step, and I've been born again. And what's changed? Well, nothing has to change. I'm born again. But something changes when we experience God, when we experience His love. So, He says that then... Look what happens then. Look what happens after we allow the power of the Spirit to work in our lives. Then Christ will make His home in your heart as you trust Him. Amen. Then Christ will make His home in your heart. He'll feel at home in your heart. Because you're trusting Him. I like you in my house. Oh, goody, 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 you're here. I mean, I'm certain that my little salesman guy was real glad to see me coming out of the house smiling, saying, praise the Lord. Not get out, damn spot, you know. He was glad to see that I was glad. Jesus is glad to see that you're glad. Because then He'll feel at home in your heart as you trust Him. And as you trust Him, your roots will go deep. Grow down into God's love and keep you strong. As you trust Him, your roots will grow deep. Why will your roots grow deep? Because as you trust Him, He manifests Himself. You become more confident and nothing's going to move you off of God. God did this, He'll do this. My God
shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. As I trust Him, my roots will grow down deep because He keeps on proving that it's a good place to stay planted in the love of God. And it will keep you strong. It will keep you strong. I have a young man that's emailing me now, and he's the nephew of my first prison son. And his mother wrote to me and asked me if I would pray for this young man, because this young man I can tell from his writing that he's a very intelligent young man, but he's had emotional problems, they just wondered if I would take him under my wing from 2,000 miles away. I said, I'll do more than pray for him. I'll communicate with him if you don't mind, and if he doesn't mind. And so then she sent me a letter that he had written to her about his belief in God, but his doubts of God. And so I just wrote to him. And wouldn't you know how the devil works, the letter was lost for a little while in the email. But his mother said, he wrote to you. And so Kent is his name. Kent wrote back and said, man, sorry I lost the letter. And he wrote me a little bit. So I wrote him back a little bit more. So he wrote me a little bit more. He's talking about how he believes in God, but he's sometimes sort of mad at God because of the way things are with him. And he doesn't think it's good because he's got these thoughts. You know what I mean? It's just a spiritual warfare. It's just stuff that he doesn't understand because he's never been taught. And so everything I write to him, he says, man, I agree with everything you said. Now that makes me nervous. Now I need to be real careful that I write to him good things. But, you know, the thing is that I recognize, not by my own might or strength, but just by God's understanding, I recognize exactly what he's talking about. And I know exactly what to write back to him. I just let my fingers do the walking. And God does the talking. But he's ready to receive it. And I'm telling you that while I was sitting there and while you were up here preaching, God told me that he's going to be set free. And I'm excited about that. Because I love to see how God does things. He's an amazing God. And your roots will go down deep. And you, then he said, you'll be strong. It'll keep you strong. That's all this young man needs, is to be strong. Stronger on the points where he knows what God can do than he is on the arguments. I told him, I said, hey, you're not experiencing anything new. That's what the devil did to Eve when he came and questioned God. The enemy sees you trusting God to get free, and he says, you know, well, are you sure that God would do that? So he throws him up things like Job. And doesn't happen to mention to him that it was him, the devil, doing everything to Job. Or he throws him up questions like, you know, why do little kids die of cancer? Because there's evil in the world. But they go to sit in the arms of Jesus. They're in good shape. Don't want that to happen. Want it to disappear. A few months ago or something, when we had the word that cancer was going to begin to disappear. Now we have to have confidence in that word that it's going to disappear around us and just boldly declare it to anybody that says, I got a cancer report. Well, in Jesus' name, I got the answer. 9 months ago, I was at the bank drive-up window, and there was a gal at the drive-up window telling me that we really need to have another child because our child needs a brother or a sister. I drove away and the Lord said, tell her to expect a baby in September. So I went back and I said to her, you may think this is a little strange, but God said to tell you to expect a baby in September. She left work last week. I don't know if she had the baby yet, but she's going to have a baby. She already had the baby. But, you know, I mean, I don't know if she remembers that, but I remember that, and I will remember to ask her about remembering that and explain to her that's how much God loves you. He heard you.
She told me you told
her that. Oh, yeah. That's a little strange. Walk into the bank. Remember what you said? This is what God said. And a few months ago, I noticed that it looked like it was happening. But I don't say to women,
yeah.
And the more it looked like it, the more I was sure I wasn't going to say anything. Maybe I just didn't have enough faith, but, you know, I'd already said it. That's all that's necessary. So the other day I said, I have a baby. Yeah, she left work last week. Oh, praise Jesus. Just be open to what God says. And then, as your roots go down deep, and He does these things, you just get strong. You get almost unbearable to the devil. Ideally, you'll become absolutely unbearable to the devil. He won't even like you to get up in the morning, so he'll try to get you not to get up in the morning, and you just say, shut up, devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So then, he goes on and he said, okay, your roots will go down to God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. It's then that you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Then. If God says then about something, you need to see what He said then about. And then if He says that, if you like what the then is, then you need to see about the part that makes it that way. And then you need to know that God says, when you seek me, you'll find me. And you need to dig down deep into the love of God. And you need to just go ahead and receive everything that He's done. And then pretty soon, He starts to do things you haven't thought about. Things that just have you going, what in the world? Last week I talked to a pastor from Fort Pierre. Wayne, I think he's the guy that you know. Roger Eastland. I talked to him. He said, say, I got to tell you, you've been on my heart. God's been speaking to me. You've been on my heart. He said, how would you like to pioneer a church in Fort Pierre? I said, I think there's a lot of churches over there. He said, no, they're not. He said, there's only two. He said, there's a Catholic church and there's the church that I pastor, United Church of Christ. He said, but we need a Pentecostal church in Fort Pierre. And I said, I'll help you. I'll be happy to help you. I'm a little busy on Sundays. He said, well, how about Thursdays? I thought, man, I've thought about Thursday church forever. I've thought about any place that I could go to preach on a Thursday. I don't know why Thursday's always been. I'm going, yeah, this is starting to sound a little God-like. You know? He said he couldn't be a part of it because he didn't want to offend his Church of Christ church. But he said, I do have the building. All you'd have to do is get some chairs. I said, well, I got chairs. We got chairs. Don't we got chairs? We can handle that. And he said, we've even got a room in the back. We can put a cot there so that when the guys get out of prison, we can give them a toothbrush, give them a place to live, give them some clothes until they go wherever they're going to go. And I go, gee, man, I've been thinking about a place in Highmore for some halfway house, and he's got the thing already there. I'm going, ooh. I try it. You know, I said, well, you know, my flesh is just going, let's start tomorrow. But my spirit is saying I'm at least going to pray about it. I think maybe sometimes the Lord says, oh, holy man. You know, I mean, it's like you do have a little comprehension on your own. So please be in prayer about that with me, you know. I think that I've got, like, Wayne and Bernie, both. Wayne's already got a presence over there, and Bernie knows some people over there. Anyway, everybody should be involved in that in prayer, but, you know, John and I used to travel to Fort Thompson all the time, and it wasn't near of a sure thing as this one. But, you know, I mean, it's like, go figure. Do you know how many Church of Christ pastors in the world can tolerate me? Okay, now let's narrow it down to how many like me. Because of what I represent, my concept of things. But this guy says, we need this here, and I want your energy over here. can you do? We can reach out, can't we?
Yeah,
so anyway, but again, the Lord doing things and you go, my goodness. Or the connections that we've had through the internet with different people, you know, and the things that we've been able to do in places that we've never been and stuff like that. And then I'm talking to Larry and Jean and they're saying, well, that's how these people found us. That's how they ended up building a school in a place. Somebody found them on the internet. Made the connection. And now tens and hundreds and thousands and millions of people's lives will be affected by that confidence. Just trusting God. And as you're trusting Him, He's becoming more comfortable. And He's comfortable with you and with trusting Him to be able to say, try this and try this and do this and do that. And just look. Go out into the deep and catch some fish. You're a preacher. You're not a fisherman. What do you know about fishing? But we'll go. Oh, God, I'm a sinful man. Maybe he was, but he was smart enough to admit it. Yeah. A relationship with the Lord. An experience with God. Does so much. And so many people are robbed of an experience because somebody says, don't get carried away. When their heart is saying, I want to get carried away. I just want something different. But at your word, Satan, I won't get carried away. Rather than, I'm going to follow Jesus. Everywhere I go, everything I do, every thought I make, I'm going to follow Jesus. Because if I do, and if I have that experience that makes that relationship, and if I am determined that there's nothing more important in life than me being strong in the Lord, because being strong in the Lord is fruitful in every part of my life. It's fruitful in a job. It's fruitful in work. It's fruitful in play. It's fruitful in homes. It's fruitful for relationships. It's fruitful for everything. God's able. He's absolutely able. And when we experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully, then we are made complete. He's able to complete the good work that's begun in us because we continue to experience Him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, just run and experience him. When the enemy lies, when the things that are going on around you just absolutely exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, just run and experience him. And then let our lives be a manifestation of the time we spent experiencing him rather than the time we spent focusing on that which comes against us. I have to tell you that one phone conversation with another pastor made so many things just fall into place because all of a sudden I'm going, my goodness, I've got like 25 people I'm working with in a program over there. I got to get them into church somehow. They ain't going to drive here. So we'll go to them. We'll go to them. And I mean to tell you, nobody wants to reach out to them. Because they ain't the cool. But oh, their potential in the kingdom of God. Because do you know that riffraff reaches out to riffraff? Yeah. Oh God! Give me a bunch of riffraff. These people are too wonderful. I'm just kidding. Not that you're too wonderful, but that I prefer riffraff. They just understand me better. No, don't mind that. But you'll be made complete.
It's those times with God. It's those things that you see God do, that you see God do for other people. And even if they don't know that God did it for them, you're able to say, way to go, God. That's just so awesome. Those are the things that make you complete. Those are the things that make you go, oh, it was so cool. When you've experienced His love and you have that relationship, and that's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for from the time you get up in the morning until you go to bed at night. And when you're looking for the experience of His relationship and those wonderful things that God does, then when the other things pop up, you know what to do with them. Jesus. Help that. You've just fulfilled the will of God when you say, Jesus, help that. Jesus, fix that. Open the eyes of my understanding. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see You. We can easily recognize everything else because it's always got neon lights on it, you know, flashing at us. The problems here and the troubles there and all this and that. And, oh, you know, nobody knows the trouble you've seen. Those are all in big lighted up things. And then over in a nice, serene little place is the glory of God. That when you look at it, it's so bright that all those other things disappear. But He never forces us to look at Him. He just gives us a blanket promise. I'll be there. Just look. Think of how much nicer it would be when things seem to be a wreck or somebody's a wreck around you or whatever the case might be. And instead of going, you look at the glory of God. You go, now that's an experience that changes things. That's an experience that strengthens me. That's an experience that gives me hope. This young man that I was writing to, he said, I always come back to the thing that the Bible promises us hope, so I guess there's still hope for me. Oh, there's more than hope for you. There's an absolute arm of God. He knows no distance. He knows no time. And for such a time as this, he said, my grandmother's practically a saint in my eyes. His grandmother's just the cutest little thing. I've never seen her. I've only heard her voice. Pastor Roger, how's everything with you, Pastor Roger? We just love you, Pastor Roger. We're so glad God brought you into our lives, Pastor Roger. Oh, I love this woman. And that is her voice. Her son had told me, you will recognize her voice. Is it just a sweet little voice? First time she called me, I heard that voice. I said, hello, Mrs. Troutman. Only I didn't say it in that voice. I'm sorry. She said, hello, is this Pastor Dad? I said, you must be Mrs. Troutman.
How did you know?
Kent told me his mother had this sweet little voice, and you've got it.
Oh, Pastor Roger, you're so wonderful.
I love her. I need to call her more just to have her pump me up, you know? And I'm not going to give her any of you guys' numbers to disavow that. Let her think what she wants to, okay? Okay. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. When is that? When you trust God. And when you experience His love. God would not say that we should experience it if the experience wasn't there. And if God says that we can experience something, that's what we should go after. Because He's God. But as long as God is a concept, as long as Christianity is a concept, as long as it maybe is something that works and maybe it doesn't, why put any effort into it? But when once we begin to tell ourselves, get it all, boy. There's more. Get it all. I can't get hold of my hair. Get it all, boy. I can't pull my hair and get my attention. I can get a point. Get it all, boy. That hurts. Then we'll be strong. Our roots will go down deep. We'll be made complete. How many would like to be made complete? Father, thank You.
Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us go out into the deep. Sometimes it's going out into the deep to get those things from you, because everything around us says this isn't going to work and that isn't going to work, and don't get carried away. And yet at your word, Lord, I'm going out to where I can't swim to the shore. I'm just going to trust you. Father, let your blessings pour out and overflow into the lives of every single person here. Father, the prayer that you sent with Bernie, Lord, let it just begin to produce, to manifest in multiple ways, Lord. The word, the hunger in our hearts to go out into the deep, Lord. The determination to experience and to be made complete and to be made strong. Let it overwhelm everything else in our lives. And then, Lord, we will behold your glory. And we will experience more than we ever could have imagined. And we will know the truth. And that truth makes us free to pursue you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. We thank you for this, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.